Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All the things that we do, and not sure what's working and what's not, but pretty much start the show off every day like that. That one looks like we're on camera. I don't know.
Well, these are on, right?
We're going to find out. Yeah, that one's on. I got to keep looking. Remind me to keep looking every now and then. Hey, everybody. We're on a couple different platforms today. Got a kind of a fun, cool show. A sad show, but a fun show. A little bit of all of the above. But welcome to the Doodoo and Foo show. I tell you, every week, don't I tell you? Look at that. I look younger. I look like I'm 28.
Keep it up there.
I know. Keep it up there. Focus on that, folks. Welcome to the Doodoo and Foo show. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dan Doodoo Savage.
I'm Mike Christofoli Foo.
And we are here, episode 1717. So now, wait a minute. Last week, who's 17?
Was Chris Mullen 17? I don't know.
The original Gym Rat. Chris Mullen, St. John's.
St. John's, yeah.
A Syracuse foe.
Yeah.
17, yeah. And what did we figure Peyton Manning was?
18.
Jeez. All right, next week. We got you, Peyton. Next week, we'll have you. So it is, what are we at? The 19th of July, show 17. For those of you wondering, last week we had a minor little snafu with our audio. Not even a snafu, the memory card was full. So got the first like 14 to 16 minutes. I'll upload that probably today. I'll try to get all of them done. But the video went, but the audio went a little wonky. So we got a couple different things. We were talking off air. I'm sitting here trying to figure out wires and mics. We got this guy. He's got that guy. We got this one going. Whatever. We're just trying to figure it out.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah, we're about to find out, right?
Yeah,
so
that's it.
Before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's show, it's a sad one, but an exciting one for me, just to be able to talk about somebody who is a really important part of my life. Just want to kind of talk about the week we had. I had my,
the convention
down at your hotel, which was pretty cool.
Yep.
I got to see some really cool people talk, some old school hoop heads and some CEOs of like Reebok and different places like that. It was pretty cool. But I had you got your Earl the Pearl shirt on.
Yeah.
Syracuse was one of the big sponsors of the conference.
Yeah.
And so every couple hours, what did I do?
Come and see me where I was at.
And what did I bring you?
You bring me some Syracuse Syracuse stuff.
I was finding pins and stickers and pens and all that stuff.
I guess it was a perfect time to wear a Dwayne Pearl Washington shirt, right?
It was. Yeah, no, Syracuse, the Alumni Association was a part sponsor of the event.
Which is cool.
Which
is
very cool. Yeah. So, it was a fun week. It's... For us living here in Vegas, these opportunities happen all the time. Whereas opposed to, even when I lived in Cape Cod, you gotta, Boston every now and then or New York, you gotta plan to go to conferences.
Right.
You gotta fly out. So Vegas is, we're very thankful to Jay Vickers over at UNLV to take care of the UNLV, the CSN staff. We had four of us that went over and enjoyed, learned a lot, got to, rub elbows and pass out business cards and create some of those important contacts that you didn't know you needed. That was good. As a sports roundup this week, it was a little bit, not too much this week. We stuck on the WNBA with Angel Reese. Her double-double streak came to an end.
yeah
And they're taking their break now, I believe, for All-Star Olympics.
Yeah.
Speaking of Olympics, let's hear your thoughts. Last week we talked about, is this the dream team? Can you compare them? They haven't even played a game yet.
They haven't, but we talked about it last week. In my mind, no. And you did ask me the question, do you think they lose a game or do they go undefeated? And I was up in the air on that. I won't be surprised if they lose a game, but I won't be surprised if they go undefeated.
Yeah. I still think they're a favorite to go undefeated. Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be easy.
It won't be easy.
They're going to get tested.
They're going to get tested. Of course, the more that they play together, too, they're going to obviously start clicking more and more and get better, too, of course.
Yeah.
And the competition is better, right, as we talked about last week with all these countries. These guys can play.
Yeah.
But no, are they the dream team of 92? No. Yeah. I don't think so. But they're good. They're good. Some talent down there, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of talent. Yeah. And it's a good test for us. It's a good it's a good way to try to take that crown back. You know, there was some talk these last few years that they call the NBA champ the world champs. And some of the people in the world were like, hold up.
Yeah.
That doesn't include us. So this is kind of the way to put the stamp on the USA trying to retain, at least for now, retain that title of the best basketball players in the world. Because some of these teams have some
talent.
Legit players. Oh, yeah. So we'll see how that goes this year. Interesting NBA news today. Did you see that with Russell Westbrook?
Yeah. Where'd he go? Nuggets?
So he went to Utah.
He did go to Utah. Okay. I thought I saw Nuggets.
But Utah's going to waive him and the Nuggets are going to get him. Right. So it's the whole plan.
Right.
I don't know. I've always been so up and down on Westbrook, and we've talked about him a few times. I mean, you just can't deny his intensity and his will. It's phenomenal. I mean, he plays at such a high clip, but I think it takes a specific type of team, coach, teammates for it to work. For it to work to win games.
Yeah.
So will that work at Denver? I don't know. It could.
I don't think he's the player that puts him over the top.
Nah.
You know what I mean? I don't... Does that make them a championship contender? Being in the playoffs again, I think.
I think losing KCP hurt them last year. So if you had had to hit that reset button as the Denver Nuggets, would you take KCP back or Westbrook?
Yeah, right.
They're just very different, you know. Like KCP in the last few years have been very productive, but not flashy, not big numbers.
Yeah.
But he's what they need.
He's what they need.
So now, how will Westbrook fit in? And of course, now you look at. The Clippers they lost PG and lost two of their, it wasn't really a big four because I think they're aging a little bit, but two of their main marquee players. That was not much else really going on in sports.
I know
Tiger swung and hit the ball a couple times yesterday.
It looks like he's going to miss the cut for the Masters.
I think he knows that.
He knows that. He had to... baseball All-Star game, right? There was festivities.
Yep.
Quiet week. Quiet week quiet for sports.
Week. Was a quiet week. It was a quiet week around here, too. Middle of summer. Even our open gyms are a little bit thin right now. A lot of kids have gone off to school. And for us, we did the Quiet Storm Foundation community event. That's C.J. Watson's free youth camp. So we had five girls go over. This upcoming week, we're doing a back-to-school clinic, back-to-school giveaway down at Doolittle. The community gives out backpacks and just does all kinds of stuff. So we'll have a few players, myself. I'll be down there. Coach Lee with his guys be down there for that. So it's a good time to and then we're going to go to Von Tobel in about 2 weeks for their back-to-school kickoff. And they have, like, you know, snow cones and canes and all that stuff. So. Yeah. We connect with them. They helped us quite a bit last year.
Good.
And so we'll be out there. Just, it's a good time of year for us to be involved in the community before we get to school, before school starts, which is right around the corner. So the big news, what we're going to focus on a little bit today, and I apologize if I do a lot of talking today.
No, go right ahead.
But,
understandable.
We lost, somebody close to myself, my family, in the big picture of sports, he's a super influential person, and that's Joe Jellybean Bryant, father of Kobe Bryant and Sharia and Shea Bryant. I don't want to miss that there's three kids. And Joe, what we're going to get into a little bit is my the lucky break. I don't know why I got it or how, but I'm actually going to talk about it, is how I met Joe and the impact he had on me for the years that we worked together. Yeah. And not only that, but he was engaged with this past year's team so much.
Yeah.
Never in person, but I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But yeah, we lost Joe. Did you ever get to meet Joe?
I never did get to meet Joe. No, I wasn't fortunate enough to meet him. But from everything I heard of course, I wish I would have.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
You
know, what can you do? But no, it is. It's too bad. Just young. You know, so is he 69 right then?
69 years old, yeah.
Very young, but no, I never did get to meet him.
Yeah. Great guy, great family. Thoughts to his wife, Pam. They live, have a home up in the Summerlin area, not too far from us. And would see Pam in the grocery store every now and then. And of course, you know, keep in contact with Joe. This last year has been a lot of texting back and forth. And, you know, reported stroke. These strokes are tough because there's no timing to them. There's not always a lot of warning. So,
right.
I know Joe was, a young guy comparatively, and gonna miss him terribly. And I want to share some stuff for the viewers out there listening. If you don't know the background of Joe and I, we have a pretty cool relationship and how it started and how we work together. So I kind of just want to break that down during this show.
Sure.
We got to add some trivia in. Do you know where Joe Bryant went to college?
Yeah, LaSalle. He stayed at home in Philly. He's a Philly guy.
He's a LaSalle guy.
Fortunate enough to even be an assistant for LaSalle.
He did, yeah.
At one time,
he came back his coaching career. We went back for a year, I think, as an assistant coach. He was drafted the 14th pick in the NBA draft by the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
Traded to the Sixers before he played a game, of course, back home, Philly. Right?
Yeah.
And played on some pretty iconic teams. Got to play with Doug Collins and Dr. J.
Yeah.
Played from 75 to 83.
Yes.
And he made it to the finals in 1977.
When
the Sixers went to the finals. They lost in the finals, but made it to the finals. So from there, he went on and played the San Diego Clippers. I just wrote down some of these notes. And then the Houston Rockets. It's a pretty iconic video. I don't know. Have you ever seen the dunk on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I may have, and I don't remember. If I have, it's been a while. But
let me tell you, that was
a claim to fame for him.
If you guys are watching live or watching this replay, go to YouTube or Google and type Jelly Bean Bryant dunking on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
I want to say he was with San Diego when that happened, the San Diego Clippers before they became the LA Clippers.
Yep.
And he went baseline and he rose up and he dunked that ball. And I'm telling you, his arm was straight. Like his head was at the rim right on on Abdul-Jabbar. One of my favorite, dunks, NBA dunks. So look that up if you've never seen it. It's a great dunk. You gives a little reminiscent of, you can see where Kobe got them bounce from. And Joe's a little bit taller.
Yeah, a little bit by a couple inches.
Taller than Kobe. And a couple years ago I bought all of Joe's trading cards and all that stuff. So so that was it. And then when he finished in the NBA, he was kind of one of those first players that went over to Europe.
Yeah.
Because he was still serviceable. Let me see. He was a career almost 9 points a game. Mm-hmm. 1 year he averaged just about 12.
Yep.
12 and almost 7 rebounds. So 12 and 7 in the NBA is not
you're
not on your way out.
No.
Right? So
no.
He was one of the first NBA players to take his game and his ability over to overseas.
Yeah.
And obviously played in Italy where that's where Kobe kind of got a lot of his growing years.
Yep.
Played for 9 years in Italy, came back. Did some stuff, lived life a little bit. That's when he got the LaSalle assistant coaching job. From there, he actually, he was a coach in slam ball. Do you know what slam ball is?
Slam ball, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the trampoline.
Yep.
It was pretty popular. It was on ESPN and all that stuff for a little bit. So he did slam ball, and that's when him and I connected in minor league basketball, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Our stuff ended with the Boston Frenzy. He got picked up by the Sparks in the WNBA. Yeah. So he took over for, geez, I gotta have, think of the name. Anyway,
yeah, I can't remember
took over either. In his first year, his first full year, they went 25-9. WNBA season was a lot shorter back then, and brought them all the way to the conference finals and lost. And then the next year, kind of a little bit WNBA, ended up in Japan. And Japan, he was there for a while, 2007 to 2011. Came back to the WNBA for 1 year and then went back to Japan for three more years. So, you know, he coached all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of names I'm going to bring up. Some may be watching, especially on Instagram. Some of the guys that I was lucky enough to watch him coach. So, yeah, it's a little bit of his career in a nutshell. I mean, the guy's just always been around basketball, and it shows his thumbprints on.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
A lot of things, and it's on a lot of things in my career. Mm-hmm. So where do we begin? I guess, you know, the story of how I even met Joe was kind of cool. I had moved back out here. I'd been back in Massachusetts coaching high school at Bourne High School, my alma mater, and moved out to Vegas. And it was tough because it was tough to leave that program. I had been having some success at that level. I was trying to get a varsity job. I was still in my 20s. I was a little bit younger, trying to get that varsity job. I was very successful in the JV level and was building programs kind of like I do now. It was like, had great buy-in from my parents and all that stuff. So to leave to come back to Vegas was a family decision. We wanted to get back to Vegas, but it was tough because I didn't know if I was going to be able to coach or not.
Right.
And a couple things happened. I had a meeting with the AD over at Durango about doing, I want to say it was either freshman or JV, and had a meeting kind of slash interview. And he said, "Do you know how much we pay?" And I said, "No, Massachusetts pays pretty good." And he's like, "I didn't even want to say it out loud." So he wrote it on a sticky note and pushed it over to me. And I looked at it and went, "Wait a minute, what?" It was like $900. I was like, "For a season?" I was like, yeah, I mean, I love basketball, but I gotta make money.
You got a family to feed.
Yeah. And CCSD's come a long way since then, but, so I'm sitting here going, man, I'm going to miss a season. I've coached or played my whole life. Yeah. I've never missed a season. And I had some opportunities potentially to go back east, and there was some crazy things happening. And I was working at a little private Christian school called Tree of Life on West Cheyenne and East Cheyenne. And, I was the fourth grade teacher. I was the PE teacher for the whole school. And I was the assistant principal.
Did so it all.
I did it all. my good friends, Sarah and Charity. Sarah was running the school with her parents. And long story short, as I was there, I'm driving home from school one day. And I'm listening to sports talk radio. And they're interviewing Joe Jellybean Bryant. And truth be told, I didn't know a lot about him other than he was Kobe's dad. Yeah. I didn't know anything about him, but I just listened to him. I could hear his charisma, his passion. He's talking about this new ABA semi-pro basketball team coming to Vegas called the Rattlers.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, just listen to him. And at the end of the phone, at the end of the interview, they said, you know, what do you want to get out of the local community? And he said, you know, we want to get people to the games and all that. He's like, but we want people that want to be part of this organization too, whether it's selling tickets, sweeping the floor, being part of whatever, you know, just we want everybody to be out there. And I'm listening and going, like, see what comes next. Well, how does somebody get in touch with you? And I think he said an email or something. And As soon as that interview was over, I called the radio station.
Okay.
They put me on the phone with Joe. The interview's okay. over. I'm like, hey, my name's Dan Savage. Swapped information. I said I'm a coach from Massachusetts, and I didn't really know the whole Philly thing. I did, but I didn't. Long story short is he and I connected, and he said, we have practice tomorrow morning at the Christ the King gym on Torrey Pines.
Yep, been there. Yep.
And he said, if you want to come by, it would be great. Meet you, whatever. And it's a school day. I have school. I'm a fourth grade teacher, the PE teacher. I'll be there. I didn't even hesitate. I'll be there. Called in. Hey, I'm not going to make it tomorrow. So I'm going to go. I don't know what this is going to lead to. I thought I was going to go sweep the floors.
Yeah.
But just how crazy is that I just called?
Yeah.
Just made it happen.
Timing.
Walk in the gym, introduce myself as all these players in there. There's names you'd know, names you wouldn't know. I'm like, this is great. Because I'm going from high school girls basketball.
Yeah.
I'm walking in going, holy smokes. Like, he played at the University of Colorado, and he played at UCLA. And he played, like, I'm going, oh, my goodness. And there's Joe Jellybean Bryant. He's like, hey, big smile. Nice to meet you. Man, very cool. Hey, however you want to help, just jump in. And I'm sitting there going, a little nervous. So I did some stuff, rebound, some passing, helped a couple guys like get stretched out, just some basic stuff, but watched him do his thing. And at the end of the day, he's like, what do you think? And I'm like, oh, no, super. It was pretty cool. And he said, can you come back tomorrow? And I said, yeah, let's do it. And so he said, bring some drills. I was like, oh, holy smokes.
Okay.
What do? I go home, tell Julie. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but it's Kobe's dad, Jellybean Bryant. I called in sick again. Long story short, I go in the next day and I do a couple drills, not a lot, but I do a couple drills that I was doing with my girls basketball team back in Massachusetts, and it sticked. And him and I and the ownership group, it was ABA, so it's a little, it's choppy weather. I mean, whatever. I was an ABA owner. This is what it is. Minor league basketball is not always, rainbows and butterflies. But long story short is I, helped him out on staff for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Got to travel with him, went to San Diego, Tijuana, got to go to Fresno, meet the guys, I connected with all the guys, but more importantly, I got to hang out with Joe.
Yeah.
So a couple trips on the road, hanging out with Joe. We have an assistant coach, Ivory. We had another guy, can't remember his name. Master P was on the team at one point.
I remember that. Yeah.
His assistant, Mac. All these names and all these great guys. And some of these guys I'm still friends with. Some of the players I'm still connected with and friends with. But that's kind of how we met.
Yeah.
And it was, he was just welcoming, he wasn't like, oh, what are you, a girls coach from, a JV girls coach from Boston?
Yeah.
He was like, what do you want to do? What can you bring? How can you help? And I do stats at games. And again, the key was I got to watch him work and listen to him interact and watch him interact. And if I'm not mistaken, he was probably 48 years old, 48 or 49.
Okay.
Maybe 48. So that was the story on how we connected.
Yeah,
right?
That's neat. Yeah.
Season didn't go great. The season actually was choppy. I think that's a word I'm going to stick with.
Okay.
It was good. It was bad. It was, again, it was minor league basketball. It wasn't great. I definitely sacrificed some things to get this experience, to meet people, to be around. I remember the, the last game that Joe coached. We had an upcoming trip coming up to Kansas City, and the Kansas City Knights were the back-to-back ABA champs, hadn't lost at home in like 2 years or something like that. They had Joe Crispin from Penn State.
Yeah.
They had Paul Shirley. They had some pros, Gennaro Pargo. Yep. They had pros on their teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ABA at one point was a legit.
Oh yeah.
Matt Barnes was the Long Beach
Absolutely.
Team, right?
Yep.
So it's NBA All-Star weekend. Joe's like, I'm going to watch Kobe in the All-Star.
Yeah.
So myself and, can't remember the other assistant coach's name. It'll come to me. Scott something. It was the two of us ended up helping out the ABA, and it was, like I said, choppy waters, but we got the team to Kansas City. So we go in and go to check in, and they're like, Mr. Bryant? Like, oh. But the room they had for Mr. Bryant at the top of the Hyatt was like a whole
floor. I could imagine.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So we went a little undermanned, had a few guys missing, and we took them to overtime, almost beat them at their place. And it was back-to-back. It was one of those Friday night, Saturday night games. And Saturday night was Valentine's Day. So the Friday night game, we take them to overtime, lose by a couple, really gave them heck. The next night, they beat us by 50. They called the Valentine's Day Massacre. So that was pretty fun just to see, you know, kind of open my eyes like, wow, this is for Joe, this room? Holy smokes. Right? And the other assistant, Scott, he's the one that took that room. But yeah, that was, that year was interesting. We had Stanley Roberts on the team.
Yeah, big Stan.
Big Stan from LSU. LSU, yeah. First round pick of the Orlando Magic.
Yep.
You know, it was some interesting, my guy Rasul Salahuddin played at Long Beach State. And then, of course, we had Spider and Helicopter join us from the N1 Tour. That was when the N1 Tour was, like, taken off.
Yeah, remember that? Yep.
And who else did we have? We had, Wayne Oliver. We had Justin Hawkins played at San Diego State. We had Mo Kamara, who played at San Diego State, big fella. Dave Korfman, who played at UC Irvine. We had some hoopers. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I know I'm missing some guys from that team, which kills me. But it was DJ Harrison from Colorado. Some hoopers. But it was fun. That was kind of my first interaction with Joe. So the season kind of ends. You know, we're an assistant coach and he's the head coach and we kind of get to know each other a little bit, and the ABA expands and they're talking about expanding the East Coast. Well, I put together a group of people, we throw some money out there and we get the Boston market, and myself and my brother and my buddy Matt Zimmerman were kind of putting names together to possibly interview to talk about who we want as coach. Like Bill Curley came up.
Billy
Curley, some different names that were coming up in that Boston area. And Joe and I kept in contact. And one night he called me. I'll never forget. I was in Lakeville. He said, "Hey, how's the search going for the coaching position?" I'm like, "Oh, pretty good. You know, we got to be naming off some people." He said, "Hey, throw my name in the hat." I was like, "Joe, you got the job. Throw your name in the hat. You want to come out here? You got the job.
It's yours." Yeah.
So long story short, Joe's now the new head coach of the ABA, brand new Boston Frenzy. And you know what's crazy? Before today, I was looking up online. And make sure everything's recording here. And I was looking just for some old articles, and I found articles I had never seen before. And I saw one that made a huge deal that I'd never seen before about Joe coming to Boston, Kobe's connection to the South Coast, because we played at UMass Dartmouth. And, you know, I mean, I'm bringing Joe to the Boston area. We're a little south of Boston. But so Joe took the job. Built the team. I did my best to do it the right way to, you know, to pay players, to have nice facilities. We practiced at the Newborn Community Center, which was a brand new gym that I had helped. I was a recreation director at the time, help secure, develop, design. So now that's open and we get to practice there. The gym search, I'm going to talk about a funny story, which is funny how that happened. But now we got Joe coaching the Boston Frenzy. Yeah. So now Helicopter and Spider were locks to come with us now. You know, I wanted them to come anyways, but now Joe, who was their coach last year, coming this year. So we got to work with them. They had some N1 conflicts, but they played quite a few games for us. So a funny story, and this happened quite a bit with Joe, is I have a meeting with the athletic director at UMass Boston. UMass Boston is right on the Boston Harbor.
Okay.
I mean, the gym is beautiful. The windows, you can pretty much overlook the Boston Harbor. I mean, it's right there. It's in the heart of the city. Beautiful court. So I meet with the AD. Can't remember his name. I should remember his name. Big dude. And we had conversations, and rightfully so. He was like, a little skeptical. You know, ABA, minor league basketball, just didn't have a great rap, you know?
Okay.
And so I met with him, and I think we had two meetings. And in the second meeting, he was like, you know, we're going to pass. Like, just, you know, good luck finding a gym. And, you know, it's not for us, you know, it's just whatever. It just didn't work. Right.
Yeah.
So we end up, securing, UMass Dartmouth, which is about 40, 45 minutes away. It's a little bit south outside of the city, but again, a really nice gym. Good situation. I knew some of the coaches there, just whatever. It was an okay situation. It was a good situation. So let's fast forward a month later. Jelly Bean's now flying into town to start coaching. So I pick him up at Logan Airport in Boston, and I'm like, let's just swing by UMass Boston because I want to show you this gym that I really wanted to play at. Like, I wanted to show him. So we go in. Doors are all open, middle of the day. We walk in the gym. We're walking down the court, and Joe's going, man, this is nice. This would be perfect for an ABA game. And don't you know the AD walks, must have seen us in his office, comes out, and he comes down. Can I help you guys? And I'm like, no, Dan Savage, I know we're not playing here. I just wanted to show my head coach where we were going to play. And he goes, okay, yep. Wait a minute, Joe Bryant? They were teammates at LaSalle.
Wouldn't you know?
Unbelievable. Teammates at LaSalle.
Unbelievable.
They hugged. I think they were in the same fraternity or whatever. They were teammates at LaSalle.
That's great.
Big hug. He says to me, why didn't you tell me Joe was your coach, man? He's like, you've left that part out. But I don't know if that had been actually solidified yet. And he's like, my gym's yours. Like, what do you need? And I'm like, we've already signed a contract. Where? UMass Dartmouth. Part of the UMass family.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, just walking in a room with Joe, it was like, no way. The connection, like,
good just thing
like
you that. Stopped by.
I know.
Suppose you decided to go past it, right? Yeah, timing. Yeah, that's awesome. That's Isn't a great that story. Great story.
Teammates at LaSalle University. Yeah, so Joe knew a little bit of everybody. Let's see, where do we go from there? I'll give you another similar story. I'll try to condense this one. We're looking for an RV or some sort of bus, which we secured from Giant RV in Lakeville, Massachusetts. And same type of story, right?
Okay.
So I go in, I meet with the GM, don't remember his name. Talked about sponsorships, what we can give them, and same thing, hesitant.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know, ABA, minor league basketball. He's like, we can do something for you, maybe sell you something at invoice, but we can't give you an RV. And
right.
I'm trying to make the best financial decisions I could at the time. I'm like, I'm trying to get, you know, a team bus. We're going to wrap it and all that stuff. And he's like, good conversation. Great guy. I wish I could remember his name. But basically he said, we'll get you something to invoice, which was an $80,000 RV. We could get it for like 47 or something, right, like it, 46 or something like that. So as I'm leaving, I notice in his office, we walk by his office, he's got a ton of Lakers stuff. So I have his business card. I'm like, hey, man, appreciate your time. And I'm leaving, and Joe's here in town now. And I call up Joe. I said, hey, can I steal you tomorrow for a couple hours? He's like, yep, no problem. Always good like that, right? Because I was running this, I was the owner GM. He was always helpful whenever I needed something like that. So I called the guy at RV, the RV place back, Giant RV, and I said, hey, listen, are you in tomorrow? I just want to pop in. He's like, yeah, but you know, we just can't do anything. I said, no. I got something for you. He's like, all right, but he's like, don't bother, you know, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
So we go in, pull up the next day. I come in with Joe Jellybean Bryant. The guy's jaw drops because Kobe's his favorite player.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, a little bit of magic selling. Hey, just want to introduce you to our head coach. This is Joe Jellybean Bryant. And he was like, all right, let's get something done.
Why'd you tell me that from the beginning?
So the next thing you know, we get a really good deal. Not given, but a good deal on an RV and, you know, wrapped it and use that to get to some local games.
Yeah.
And so Joe just had that, you know, between him and Neil Fingleton, our almost 7 foot seven and three quarters.
I remember Neil.
I brought him into some meetings to get sponsorships just to close the deal.
Yeah.
You know, McDonald's was one of them. And they, you know, holy smokes.
Yeah.
Where do we sign? You know, so you got to be creative when you get in.
Gentle giant.
Yeah, but Big Joe helped a lot. Got us a lot of press, obviously, which everywhere he went, he got press. We also had a pretty good team. We did struggle that year, and I sold the team at the end of the year, which is what got me back here coaching at Bonanza. It was a lot of pieces of that happened. Let's see. Family. Couple quick little fun stories about Joe with us as a family. One of them is Brooklyn didn't play basketball when she was a kid, right? But Joe was back in town, and he said, hey, I'm doing a camp at Silverado High School, I think it was, or somewhere out there. He's like, it's a youth camp. He's like, if Brooklyn wants to go, well, I'll bring her, I'll bring her. I think the first day he picked her up, and the second day I think he brought her and I had to go pick her up. Not super sure on those details, but something like that. And I go in and see, watch the camp, and she's right by his side, and our neighbor's daughter, Ashley, who did not play any basketball, Ashley, my friend Sarah's daughter, she went too, just because it was free. Joe let us come in. And so we're driving home, and I'm like, how was camp? And Brooklyn's like, yeah, it was, basketball, dinner. I was like, oh, that's cool. She's like, but I got to eat lunch with Jelly Bean. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, the campers all had their, all the campers probably ate out on the court or whatever, in the bleachers or in the cafeteria. And she's like, and Jelly Bean brought me back with the coaches. So I got to eat back with it. So brought, Brooklyn back with the coaches and put me on the phone with his son. And I'm like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah, he asked me what I wanted for Christmas. I'm like, oh, that was Kobe Bryant that you were talking to. And of course, Brooklyn's probably 8 years old, seven. She had no clue. I'm like, oh, I'll just put you on the phone with her, with Kobe Bryant. So there was Joe. And then, and the other thing with Brooklyn, one time I brought her back to Boston too. She was little. Let's see. It was 2005. I think 2004, 2005 was the year. So that would put Brooklyn at 9 years old. Yeah. And she'd go back and Jelly Bean would just treat her like gold. And then Trent, obviously, got to know Jelly Bean a little bit later in life here in Vegas. We did another camp with 50 kids from China, all flew in do a camp with Jelly Bean. And he asked Trent and I to come help out. And so Trent and Jelly Bean got to know each other a little bit better through that. And then I know one time there's a video, they bumped into each other at downtown Summerlin, made a video and sent it to me, and yo, what's up with Trent? So some cool stuff. He was always around, always every single holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to the family from me and Pam. Christmas, and it was always back and forth. We texted back and forth all the time. So it was, went from helping him out, being an assistant coach of the Rattlers, to owning a team and hiring Joe. Then he went off to the Sparks, and it was pretty cool to watch him continue to coach. So some gems I learned from Jelly Bean. First of all, I think I was pretty fiery as a young coach, but I think I watched his demeanor with people. He just never got too excited, there was one time he got excited, which we'll talk about. but he never really just got too excited. He was always like uplifting players. He wasn't really cussing them out too much or pushing them. He was uplifting them, trying to encourage them. And I think that changed a little bit of my mentality coaching wise, but he had a couple sayings that stick with me to this day. And one of them was think less, react more. He'd tell the players all the time, think less about what you're doing and just react to the game. And he told that specifically to Marcus Hauptmann and Marcus Wills, which were two local players. Marcus Wills was Mr. Basketball Massachusetts and played Division I, and Marcus Hauptmann played at UMass Dartmouth, actually, both big time players in that area. And I just remember him, and I read it in an article too, that he told Marcus, think less, react more. Just go out there and play the game. And that's that next level. He used to say, we're playing chess when they're playing checkers. It's a common saying, but one of them. But I'm rambling. I'm almost out of breath.
No, you're good.
The saying that he said that stuck with me the most, that I use all the time, and I don't just use it in basketball. I use it in life. I use it in family, friends. I use it all the time. Is they cut themselves. And here's what that is our training camp, we brought in about 19, 20 guys.
Yeah.
I only have a budget to pay 12 to 15. I think 15 was our number.
Yeah.
But we get 20 guys in, maybe 21. One or two kind of just fall off right away. Boom, like not going to work. Can't play. But now we're down to like 19 guys. And I'm like, I don't know who's making it and who's not. Like, we got a week left to make cuts. And him and I would sit down with one of my assistant coaches, one of our assistant coaches, and he'd say, I'd be sitting here going, I mean, I can't, I got like, I got rooms I got to figure out. I got to fly these guys home. Like, how are you going to cut? He said, they'll cut themselves. I'm like, making me nervous here, Joe. Like, they'll cut themselves. We got about a week to 10 days.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he used to sit back and just pull me aside and be like, watch, just watch. And I'd get a call probably that night. Clearly, I'm not going to use players' names.
Sure.
Big guy I had. Hotel calls me that I have him staying in. Hey, this guy, not good.
Mm.
Took some stuff from the store. Yikes. He's outside. Okay. He's outside cussing on the phone. He's scaring people. Mm. Blah, blah. Next day, I tell Joe. Joe said, gone. Cut himself.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, now we're down to 17. We still got, you know, we still got two or three more to go.
Yeah.
Sure enough, 2 days later, Joe calls me over in practice. Hey, see him over there? I'm like, yep. Heck of a player. Go smell his breath.
Oh, I'm like,
oh, man. I mean, drunk as a skunk.
Mm.
In a training camp, trying to make a team.
Yeah, that's not good.
Cut himself.
Yeah.
Had the discussion, helped him out, talked about it. How can we help you? We didn't just go, you're out of here.
No, like, right, of course.
Him, you know, did all the right things. And Joe was always so good sitting people down. And these young players, even though they were being cut by Joe Bryant. So they were always respectful, which is another thing I learned is, even if you're getting let go, you got to do the right thing on the way out.
Oh, absolutely.
You
got to
speak correctly. You got to be thankful. And then had a little scrimmage. Kid takes off his sneakers. Another big-time player. Oh, I can't say his name, but another big-time player. Game's not over. Takes off his sneakers.
Mm.
Done. Cut themselves. Just like that. And not only that, but Joe taught me throughout the years that doesn't just apply to players in basketball. It's when you're in tough times, like in a job, maybe there's a coworker you don't get along with. Just, you know, it's not your, they'll cut themselves.
They'll fire themselves. They'll get themselves fired. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And Julie and I were talking about this the last couple nights, you know, some of the Joe Bryant, the jelly bean isms.
Yeah.
And they cut themselves is one that her and I both, we say it so much. And I say it with Coach Tracy. And sometimes, you know, not to use the word cut like off the team, but even at this level, year to year to year, it's not they cut themselves, but these players sometimes based on their lack of effort or poor sportsmanship or bad attitude, you're cutting yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it happened a couple of years ago. I had to let 3 or 4 players go from CSN. Mm-hmm. I didn't bring back.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it. It was
they did
their
it to
actions.
They did it to themselves.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I still use that saying. And that was one that Joe really just hammered down to me that just don't overdo it. Just let it, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes you got to push them out a little bit, but they're going to give you the reason to play them, to not play them. They're going to give you the reason to give them a lot of minutes or not a lot of minutes. It's easy. You're at this level, semi-pro and even college, and I share it with my players, is you're here because you can play basketball. Right? Unless you're a developmental kid, the players on my team here at CSN are here because they can play. How much you play is totally up to you.
Yeah.
It's really not too much up to me. It just isn't. It's not. I'm going to play the players that give me the reason to play them the most.
Yeah.
And you control that by effort, attitude, all those things. Of course, you got to make a shot or stop somebody or rebound. But everybody on this team year after year after year can do something,
right,
can help some.
Right.
But what usually holds them back is that attitude.
Yeah.
And that's that cut themselves isn't necessarily off the team. You cut your own minutes.
Yeah.
Like we're traveling. We're only bringing 12. I got to leave one behind. Oh, you have two Fs? You're staying by. You cut yourself. So that was the biggest one that I learned from Joe. Pretty accurate.
No, of course. Absolutely. We see it out in the work field there too. You have a problem with somebody you're working with or management? Listen, just relax. They'll be out of here because they're going to get themselves fired.
Yeah.
You will be here longer than them.
Yeah.
If you do the right thing. If you do the right thing, yeah.
Do the right thing.
But that's true in life, right? True in sports. That's a good one. That's a very good one. Yeah.
Yep. And then another one that was more, this one hit me a lot because, you know, Joe and I, when we were together for a couple years, you know, post games, hanging out, like I said, we'd go out to coffee, you know, hang in his hotel room after practice. We'd go back. Funny story about the hotel room is, man, we were at like a courtyard, Marriott courtyard, long term. Like I booked a lot of rooms. I want to say, I had like seven or eight. I had eight rooms probably. And then his room, and his room was like a suite. And
right.
It's where they lived. That's where I paid for the guys to live that first year. And Joe calls me and he's like, hey, just letting you know, I'm getting DirecTV installed. I'm like, you're getting DirecTV installed at the Marriott? He's like, yeah, I work with the folks now. I'm not going to miss Kobe's game. I can't miss Kobe's game.
No, of course not.
Like,
no.
I got to see Kobe's game.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I meet with the general manager and I'm like, thank you so much. He's like, it's Jelly Bean Bryant. He's like, we're going to slap up a DirecTV dish right outside
his
window.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I love that.
Yeah. They got him taken care of. But yeah, we spent some time and you know, one of the life things that he said to me, and it's, again, these are things I've probably heard from before, but sometimes you hear things from people that you know care about you and you care about them. So it has different meanings. And, you know, Brooklyn was getting to an age where she was getting to be close to a teenager. And we were like, Julie and I were trying to outsmart ourselves. You know, we were going to go back to Cape Cod, move back to Cape Cod. And one of the reasons we talked ourselves into, I can say this after, is how much do we really want to raise? She's pretty. How much do you want to raise a very pretty teenage girl in Vegas? Right. Yeah. So that was kind of what we wrapped our mind about. And we say you can talk yourself into anything. And I was talking to Joe in my side yard. Julie and I talked about it last night. I showed her the spot in the side yard. I was talking to him on the phone and I was telling him we're moving. And he's like, oh man, you know, why? What's going on? And I said, we don't really want to raise Brooklyn in Vegas as a teenage young girl, which was foolishness. And he said to me, it's not where you raise your daughter, it's how you raise your daughter. He said, raising her back in Cape Cod, there's still issues, troubles, bad people, good people, all that. Vegas, and we're in Summerlin.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
A while ago. Summerlin was still, you know, Summerlin is still a nice place. And he's like, don't move for that. Like, and he wasn't trying to talk me out of not moving.
Right.
We had already rented a house. Like, we're gone. Like, and I can't say how right he was, because I was back 6 months later. Julie and the kids were back a year later. Like, we were back. It's like, we left for a year. Thought we were doing something right.
Yeah.
And again, we kind of, a little bit of different scenario, because, you know, the saying, I think Julie's grandmother said, you can leave Cape Cod, but you still have sand in your shoes.
Yeah.
You know, so you always want to get back to Cape Cod.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Little bit less as I get older, but you know, you always, I think when you move away, you kind of try to come up with reasons why to go back to
absolutely.
That was one Joe shared with us. It's not where you raise your kids, it's how you raise them.
Yes, very, very good words to live by there, that's for sure.
And his daughters, I'm pretty sure, are both still in town. One for sure. One of my former players ended up marrying his daughter, and they have, I believe, three children. And then his other daughter has a son playing at Bishop Gorman football, basketball. I can't remember his name, but his other daughter married a New England Patriot, former New England Patriot player. Can't remember his name for the life of me. But yeah, so they're obviously still connected, and it's a tough time for the family. I'm hoping I can hear about and attend services and be able to share my condolences. And I think one of the things I'll kind of wrap it up with today is his involvement this past year with CSN women's basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously friends of mine on Facebook, Joe would Joe would comment pretty much on everything I put on Facebook with a really cool like emojis and thumbs up and way to go. He's always supporting the team. But a couple things he did is several games this year, he'd send me texts before we play. I think he must have watched quite a few online.
Yeah.
But he'd send me a text before we play and say, one specifically I remember we were playing in California, and he said, give all the girls a high five for me before the game and tell them it was something about defense. Tell them, you know, lock down on defense today, offense will happen, something like that. Yeah. So I read it, and I'm like, man, this guy's so good. He's just so good. Like, he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to send these texts. And and so I walk in the locker room before the game, phones away. I said, everybody put your hand up. I walk around. I gave each of them a high five. And they're like, what is Coach doing?
Yeah.
And I said, that was from Jelly Bean Bryant. And they're like, And I said, and they were just like, I said, let's go win for one for Jelly Bean. Let's go do it.
Yeah.
And we won 96-12. We did it. Was it 12? Yeah, I think it was 12. It was 52-2 at halftime.
Yeah.
So he was really good this year. And we talked quite a bit about some personal stuff with him. And, you know, he and Pam just did their first, recently just did their first public outing, a speech. And I thought he was great. And him and I talked, which there's a lot of stories I'm going to keep personal to.
Sure, of course.
Of course. Because those were between Joe and I. But we talked a lot about, you know, Joe and I had some really long, in-depth conversations about families, his family, my family, experiences, and stuff I'll never forget.
Oh, of course. Because
some of, like I said, post-game going to Cheesecake Factory or you know, going to dinner, picking him up for breakfast, having coffee, you know, I just one of my friends, Tom Kelly, who's on Facebook, refereed one of my tryouts up in Boston. And he said, man, it was the coolest thing that you brought us up from the Cape to Boston to do these tryouts. And we got to meet Jelly Bean. Tom was just telling me the other day on Facebook, he's like, man, he's just what a wonderful guy and an awesome opportunity. So, you know, for me, Joe never disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, Julie tells a story. He showed up to one of my Bonanza games, and I posted the picture online as the one picture I posted. He tapped me on the shoulder and gave me a big hug. And I was like, man. And it's funny, Josh Warner took that picture. He was in the stands.
Josh,
And he sees Joe and I, not just a hug, we were like locked up. We hadn't seen each other in a couple of years, and we were just hugging away. And Josh was like, oh, that's got to be somebody important to Dan. So he took a bunch of pictures. And I'm like, man, I'm so thankful that Josh Warner took that picture. Just
awesome.
He's like, I don't know who that guy is. And then when I told him, he's like, oh, my goodness. So Joe just was, you know, just a fantastic person. A phenomenal brain to bounce things off of. I mean, my 1-3-1 zone. Him and I talked about when do you do it, when do you not, where do you trap, where do you not. He sent me a text just recently, one that I will share. Said, I got a lot of people out here wanting me to write a book.
Wanting
to write a book.
Sure.
And he said, but I save the knowledge that I have for only a few certain people, and you're one of them.
Yeah,
and I
was like, that's awesome. That's awesome. I was like, that'll hit you right there.
It did hit me right there. And this was, you know, not knowing what the future holds.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I said, man, that means so much, because all the stuff over the years you've given me has been, it's been gold, and I haven't forgotten any of it. And whether it's mimicking his demeanor and how he talked to people, bus drivers, janitors, like,
he never wavered from who he was.
Nah, just a great guy. The only I got to say, the funny thing is, I said he lost his cool one time. So I don't know if you know this, but when he was coaching us, he did turn 50. He turned 50 when he was coaching the Boston Frenzy. And in a couple games in, he started playing player coach.
Okay.
Did you know that?
That I did not know.
So Joe's like, I can still get buckets out
50,
here.
50, right? Yeah, 50. Sure.
So he goes out his first game. I want to say he scored 12 points. He started all four quarters, but only played 2 minutes in the fourth quarter, fouled out of the game.
Okay.
You know how he fouled out of the game? Diving for a loose ball.
Oh,
yeah. At 50.
Undercut somebody and however it was, but still at 50, diving for a loose ball. Yeah.
Player coach, diving for a loose
went
ball.
Went all out, yeah.
And the quote, this is in one of the articles that's online, the quote was, he actually got teed up as a player. He's the coach playing. Because he said, I'm 50 and I'm dying for the loose ball, and you call the foul on me? And he kept going and going and going. The ref said, bow. And he kind of with a smile on his face, technical foul, Coach Bryan.
That's funny.
And then, so the cat was kind of out of the bag. We got a little bit of a media push from now he's playing.
Yeah.
Kobe's dad, Jellybean Bryant, awesome. Is playing at 50.
That's awesome.
And they go down and play Harlem. I couldn't make this game. Matt Zimmerman went with me, went with Joe and the coaching staff. They drove down and played Harlem.
Okay.
And Sports Illustrated, Peter Vesey came in and did a whole story on Father Time. Oh, yeah. And I tried my hardest to find it. It's somewhere. I got to find it again. But they did a whole Sports Illustrated article on Joe still playing.
It said
Joe Bryant is whatever, fighting Father Time. Or it was a really good article. And I think he had like 18 or 19 that game. Still hooping.
Yeah, that's awesome. That article's got to be out there somewhere.
Oh, I got to find
you,
it.
Yeah. You can find it. That's got to be out there.
Yeah. So, man, he was a special guy. I do want to say a couple, one in particular player that he connected with was John Humphrey, helicopter from Man One.
Yep.
John played at Middle Tennessee State.
Yep.
And, Joe loved all his guys, but John was his, Copter was his guy.
Okay.
I mean, it was a father figure to him. Cop just put some stuff out, and I want to recognize Copter too, because players all lost a coach, but Cop less. He lost more than a coach because when they went to Japan, they were together in Japan for all those years.
Okay,
so Copter and Joe were together many years. It all started here in Vegas with the Rattlers, and I told John just in a quick little, it might have been Instagram or Facebook, just hey man. Keep his legacy going.
Yeah.
Pass on your information and pass on how he was, because
that
guy loved him, John Humphrey. They were a good match. Both person to person, father figure to young male, mentor, mentee, all that stuff. And so I definitely want to recognize John, because I know outside of direct family, who of course thoughts and prayers with the direct family for I've been thinking about Copter a lot too, because that was his, that was one of his guys. So a lot of people, there's some cool stuff being shared. A lot of my former players, sharing stuff about their time with Jellybean, and it's all really good stuff. And, I'm going to try my best to, even though he's not around here physically, I want to try the best to inject a lot of his things into my programs for as long as I can coach for.
Of course. Yeah, I know it hit you. You were at my work when it came across, and you came back to see me. You had to get out of there. You told Yvonne, I got to step out.
Yeah.
And you, as soon as you saw me come around, you go,
dude.
And I said, I know. I said, I saw come across. You had to sit down, take it in, and I know it hit you, yep.
I mean, I'm pretty realistic about death. I have, everybody has their own experiences in life with death. And I had experienced a lot of it as a youth, losing my parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, just a lot of it. And, I just know nothing's forever, including myself, and nobody is. And I struggle with death, and we've all had it in some different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I think there's a lot of positive ways to let somebody's legacy, live on. You do that with Fee.
Sure.
You know
absolutely.
What I mean? I mean, that's
here's part of it.
There's part of it, right?
Yeah. I got all of these shirts, Felix, myself, and Derek, and I got his in my closet. This is mine, but this is part of it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, one way or another.
Yeah. His Bruin shirt's in my closet.
Yeah. So, I gave you the Boston Bruin shirt.
I gotta wear that to one of the shows.
Yeah.
So you keep people's legacies alive in all different ways.
Yep.
And some are harder to cope than others, obviously. And this is one that I feel extremely blessed and lucky to have met Joe. I think that he changed the direction of my career in a lot of ways. Like, I got to, he brought me places that I could do a 12-hour show on this.
Oh, absolutely.
He brought me to the NBA players retired NBA players association dinner at the Four Seasons. I'm sitting next to Mark Eaton. I'm going, freaking Mark Eaton. Like, you know what I mean? Like somebody you see on TV.
Yeah,
and now he owns a car dealership and he's fixing cars. And, but I'm meeting all these guys, and I just, I got to meet Moses Malone and all these people that there's no way I would have met them. And a lot of tips and tricks on how to get things done and how to do things right. And listen, my minor league team wasn't perfect. And I it could have ended a better way, like most minor league teams. It's tough. It's a tough world. But yeah. those minor league years were huge because Joe was there for me. And when I came back to Vegas, then I started coaching and got into the minor league set with DeJuan Tate and all my guys. And so it's man, it's a lot there, and I'm just thankful. I hope that I will be able to at least see Pam and give her a hug. Thoughts to his two daughters, all his grandkids. You know, Kobe's side. He's still got beautiful daughters out there, and you know, he's going to be missed. That guy had a smile that you could see from a mile and a half away, and he never. The only time I didn't see him have a smile was when he was diving for that loose ball. At 50.
Yeah, no, that's 50. Awesome. Yeah, he had a heck of a career, Dan. I mean, you know, from player to coach. How many people really get to go to college from a city and town or state that they lived and grew up in?
Oh, yeah.
And then coach and then play in the NBA, right? I mean, he was Golden State drafts him, like you said, but trade him right to Philly. Goes to San Diego, which I think might have been the first year of San Diego, I think, right? Yeah. Coming over from the Buffalo Braves at that time, right?
Yep.
But he got to, you know, play in Philly, high school from Philly, go to LaSalle, coach LaSalle as an assistant, right? I know. Then play for the Sixers.
Yeah.
I mean, not too many people get to do go to the NBA championship with your hometown team.
Yeah.
Not too many people get to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And he coached. He was around. He was a basketball lifer. He coached a lot of years in basketball at every different level.
Yep.
Different leagues, different organizations. WNBA.
He did all genders. Which again, look at how that hits me. I've coached men. I've coached women.
Joe Bryant can do it.
I'm doing it.
You've been in different organizations, different leagues.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a resume.
Yeah.
Not too many people have a resume that Joe Bryant, Jelly Bean Bryant has. He had a lot
of success in Japan too.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, Kobe's dad over in Japan, he was a hit out there. I can't imagine he paid for many meals out there.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had an opportunity. I appreciate you sticking it out with me on a day like today.
Absolutely.
You know, I haven't really posted too much online. I don't want to. It's about Joe. It's not a poor me thing. I'm lucky and just forever grateful that I got to spend the time that I did. And I'm actually forever grateful just for the interactions he had this past year with myself and my team. Yeah. I think that support was
awesome.
He didn't have to do all that, and he did it. That's my shout out to Joe Jellybean Bryant. And I know a lot of people, like my brother, you know, a lot of people just gasped when they heard.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did some great things for us, and I was very, very lucky to have met him and spent time with him. So
absolutely.
So that's that. Let's regroup next week. And what do we got coming up? We got, like I said, WNBA's on break. Olympics must start soon.
I think next week, I think.
Okay. All right. So we got some Olympics coming up.
Next week, the week after,
Some Olympics coming up. We'll definitely be keeping an eye out that. So some potential trades happening in the NBA. And, you know, keep on chugging. July is two-thirds done, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did cool off here in Vegas, luckily, recently. But, thank you guys for tuning in. I have no idea what happened with Instagram, if we even kept going. We're just about an hour. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you for show number
18 next week.
Holy smokes. Thanks for tuning in. Yes. We'll catch you guys on the show next week.
Yes, thank you.
Take care.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.